Let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us to be faithful ministers of the gospel. Father, Jesus said in the gospels that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That we are the salt of the earth. We pray, Father, that you'll help us this week as we will surely have opportunities to be salt and light, to be faithful in that endeavor. And then, Father, there may be opportunities that come our way that we will have the opportunity to share the gospel with others. There's been many times where we've been silent, or maybe we have been ashamed. But Lord, we pray because of what you have done in our lives that we will be aware and joyful and rejoicing in our salvation. And the love of Christ will compel us, will box us in, and just press upon us to share the good news with others. So, Father, help us in that endeavor. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Well, I forgot to mention during the offering time as well, be praying for Melissa and Jessica Post's grandfather, Mr. Mayo. Many of you have been praying for him as he had a stroke and he is improving but will not be able to return to his apartment with Mrs. Mayo. They would appreciate your prayers for them as they make, again, those types of transitions are many times difficult. And just pray for grace for the family and strength in their care. Okay? All right. Well, hope you're awake this morning. Okay? Scripture reading, you sounded a little quiet there, okay? You need a little bit more energy, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. As we worship the Lord, we don't disengage mentally, folks. It's our heart, mind, and will, all right, that we are engaged in what we're doing here. And so I was reading off the little screen, so at times I couldn't see real well. But you were reading off the big screen, okay? And so you had a little bit more, a larger font than what I was dealing with. But let's make sure we're engaged. We're thinking about what we're reading. We're trying to think, what is God saying? How is God revealing himself to us? And then as we have an opportunity to sing of his mercies and those types of things, as we think about these wonderful things and the opportunity to praise him, are we praising him in our lives? And so let's make sure we're engaged, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 this morning. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this idea of love, as we've, for the last 3 weeks, been looking at this idea of love. We've been looking at that second commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we've kind of been emphasizing this second commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And we were looking at Matthew chapter 5, the end of the chapter, where Jesus is talking about believers to display true righteousness having an expansive love. It hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. And we talked about the fact that the Christian's love is to be an expansive love. We are to love universally because to be like God. That's how God loves. He causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And so we need to have that type of expansive love. And then last week we looked at Luke chapter 12 as Jesus was dealing with that young lawyer who was astute in the less civil, yes, civil law, but also of the law of God. And he was asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, what do you think? What do you read in the scriptures? And he quotes those two great commandments and says, you have well said, go and do. And then to justify himself, he says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus then talks about that good Samaritan and the one we would least expect to show care to that person that was wounded along the way was the one that showed true care. And that our neighborly heart does not come from heritage or from position, but it comes from a heart that has been changed and transformed by the gospel. And many of the opportunities of life to show neighborly love come along the way of life. And maybe you had such opportunities this week. Well, today I'd like to preach from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 on the intense love for brothers and sisters in Christ. The intense love for brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we talk about not being ashamed of the gospel, really one of the best ways that within the body of Christ and within the context of other believers, maybe at your workplace or you as a Christian family with other neighbors that don't know the Lord, by this shall men know that you are my disciples or followers by the love that ye have one towards another. And so that's an amazing thought to think about how one of the means that somebody might take notice of their need in their lives to trust Christ as Savior is by the interaction that they observe in the lives of Christian people in whatever context that might be. But yet when they see Christians that are not loving one another, there's strife, there's discord, those types of things, why would anybody want to be a part of the body of Christ? And so it's very important, this idea of this intense love for brothers and sisters in Christ. The book of 1 Peter, of course, was written by the Apostle Peter. Won't take a lot of time here, but what Peter and God wanted to instruct us in, and these people in, and instruct us in, is on how to live in front of a world that opposes them. Okay? Not just passively enduring in front of that world that opposes them, but actively living for God in the face of opposition. Actively living for God in the face of opposition. So Peter takes these suffering people, and they were suffering people, and Peter pushes them beyond what they're going through, because they're going through some very difficult things. He pushes them beyond that to what they have been placed into by God's grace. You are in Christ, and so by God's grace, you've been placed into this blessed relationship. In that, he gives them a calling for every aspect of their life. So you have been placed in Christ, you're in the midst of great suffering, but yet because of what you've received in Christ, God has a calling. And he's gonna mention some very practical things. And chapter 3, how a wife who has an unbelieving spouse is to live. And so he's going to get into some very practical areas where the gospel impacts the lives of believers, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, it says that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And so in those verses preceding our text, he deals with our Christian life as it relates to our connection with God, that vertical kind of connection through faith in the finished work of Christ. Then as we cross over to verse 22, Peter then begins to show us what that life looks like in connection to one another. So we've been connected to God through the blood of Christ and faith in that blood. Now we will look how to be properly connected with one another. And so let's read verses 22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This really is a wonderful section of scripture, and probably one that really, there's probably not another one that is more tight in its development. In a nutshell, that we see here what the Christian life is all about in terms of our relationship to one another, okay, and then how we can possibly live that out. And so this passage tells us something significant about what should be the nature of our relationship with one another as believers, and how do we possibly do that, okay? If you look at where Peter starts here in verse 22, he starts with an activity. He starts with an expression of this intense love that should characterize our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so our outline this morning will be as such. In verse 22, we'll see intense love. We'll see this expression of love for one another, okay? This intense love for brothers and sisters in Christ that is to flow out of a pure heart. And that love flows from, where does it really come from? What's the source of this intense love and affection that brothers and sisters in Christ are to have? Well, it's found in this new life. Right, this new life that we'll find at the beginning of verse 22 and the beginning of verse 23. So we are having this change of life through being born again that makes this love possible. So intense love comes from new life. We'll see that as our second point. So we are expressing this intense love for one another that comes from, as a result of this new life. And where does this new life come from? Well, the scriptures will tell us from verse 23 to the end of verse 25 here that this new life springs from this life-giving activity of God himself through the agency of the gospel that is preached unto us. And so the third point will be the gospel or the good news. So we have intense love that flows from new life, and this new life comes from, is a result of God giving us the gospel, God giving us the good news. Now, logically, when we think of this intense love that we show to other people, logically, we know that the gospel comes first, right? The gospel comes, we believe the gospel, we have new life, and then in that new life, we show intense love. But Peter sort of flips them a little bit. And Peter starts off with the activity, and then he's going to dig deeper, okay, down to find out what is the source of that activity, and it is the new life. And then he's going to dig even deeper and say that new life is a result of the gospel, the good news that is preached unto you. So we have intense love, new life, and good news is what we'll look at this morning. And that really is kind of defines living out the gospel. So let's look first of all at this expression of intense love that Peter calls on believers to exemplify. Okay, this intense love that he calls upon believers to exemplify. It says there, seeing that you have obeyed your souls in obeying the truth, purify your souls through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Okay, so brotherly love, love one another. So have this intense love. So what is that? What is brotherly love? Okay, well, it is that warm affection that rises naturally from a family relationship. Brotherly love is that warm affection that rises naturally from a family relationship. He says here that it is an unfeigned love. We don't use that word unfeigned so much, but it means sincere. In other words, this love, it's unhypocritical. Okay, it isn't something that we just put on as an act. Okay, like we are acting like we care when we don't really care. We've all been guilty of that. It's actually something that comes from who you are. It's an unfeigned love of the brethren. It's a sincere love of the brethren. Okay, have you ever watched a couple with their firstborn child? Okay. A little public service announcement here. Some of you may know this, but I've neglected to mention it for the last number of weeks, and I just remembered it last week, but forgot it in the first service, and so I usually try to do the same thing in both services, but nonetheless, a little public service announcement. Some of you may know that Jess and Josh are expecting in August, their second, and so some of you know that, but now you know if you didn't, okay? But be praying for her and Jess and her pregnancy, and pray for her, appreciate that. But have you ever seen a child or a couple with their firstborn child? Now, most of us, when we see most babies, we think they're cute and adorable, though there is such thing as an ugly baby. But when we see most babies, we just say, you know, they're cute, they're adorable. And if you are a friend of that couple that has just had that baby, you naturally care for that child. But of course, as you watch the parents themselves, they just don't like the child. It's not just cute or, oh, what a cute little baby, but they are actually overwhelmed. They are in awe of that newborn child that is theirs. In other words, there's a sense of connection to this little one. And that sense of connection results in a desire to protect or a desire to nurture. Now, why do they behave that way? Why do they behave that way? Well, we know. They behave that way because of the family connection that parents have with their children. Okay? And because of that family connection, that they feel much more strongly affectionate or loving towards that child rather than to other children. Okay? If we were just to put a collage of maybe however many faces we could fit on the screen here, 50 or 100, I don't know how many we could fit on there, just a collage of pictures on here. If you didn't know anybody in that collage, oh, you may notice some things about them, that some are better looking than others, or you may notice their hair color, or you may notice the shape of their nose, or something along those lines. But if you had that collage up there and you recognized a face or two, okay, you would feel entirely different towards that collage or towards that picture because you knew somebody. Now, if one of the persons that you actually knew was somebody that was a member of your family in that collage, you would feel even stronger yet towards that picture, okay? And it's natural to respond that way, right? You don't have to fake it. If it was just 100 faces, it's just 100 faces. Some are pretty, some are ugly. If it's somebody that you know, it's, oh, I know them. If it was a family member, you would feel entirely different, and it's natural to feel that way. Your family connection creates a response. That's the point. Your family connection creates a response, okay? And that's the way it is with your brothers and sisters in Christ, all right? Through conversion, through faith in Christ. If you're a part of the family of God, if you actually have the life of God in you so that you have a relationship by the Spirit to other brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a family connection with anybody that is in Christ. And because you have this connection through the new birth and the life of God dwelling in you, you find a natural bond and an affection for one another. Okay? Have you ever met a person that maybe you could not even speak their language? Or they live in an entirely different culture. And even before interacting with them, you can't speak their language. They're from an entirely different culture. And before even interacting with them, you sense a connection. You sense a unique connection between you and that individual person. Why do you sense that? Well, they're believers. Have you ever met another believer? And there's just something about it that when you met them, never spoke, can't speak, never knew them, never interacted with them, but there was something about them you just sensed. And you said, are you a believer? Are you, ask somebody, you know, and you find out there's that connection there. That's what Peter is talking about here. This unfeigned love of the brethren that is a result because through faith in Christ, we have the life of God, the Spirit of God that is within us, that Spirit that bears witness with His Spirit that we are His, and also to some degree bears Spirit with one another, that we are part of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's what brotherly love is. It's that warm, natural affection that is a result of our faith in Christ. So it says here, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth with the result of a sincere, unhypocritical, brotherly love. In other words, through obeying the truth. That truth there is actually means the gospel. Okay? Colossians 1:5 says, the word of truth, which is the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, some who have received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So the word truth there means the gospel. So this brotherly affection, this intense affection towards brothers and sisters in Christ comes naturally. It comes naturally, supernaturally, we understand that, or it's fundamental to the Christian experience. This intense brotherly love or affection that we are to have to one another is not just the icing on the cake. It is the natural result of somebody being born again. And the book of 1 John covers that in great detail. So Peter says, since you have that naturally, here's what he's saying now. Since you have it naturally, it's part of the new birth. Take this kind of love, this warm affection and brotherly love, and fan into a flame. Love one another fervently or earnestly. So it's there naturally, just like a little campfire. You have a little ember there, this warm affection. And Peter's saying that you fan that. You fan that into a flame. You love one another earnestly, or you love one another fervently. The word earnestly or fervently there has two word pictures. It has the idea of increased tension or activity. The word is used in Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In other words, this increased tension or this increased activity. So that's how it's used. The picture sometimes is the tightening of a stringed instrument. Okay, when you think of a guitar or a violin or some string instrument, and they twist that fret, what is it called? I don't know. It just looks like a screw. Okay, it's not called a screw. Ask the music people over here. But when you turn that, there's a tightening of that string. There's a further intensity to it. That's the idea. It's also used of the strained muscle of an athlete. You ever just watched, seen still shot pictures of athletes? We have the Olympics coming up. There'll be a lot, Summer Olympics, there'll be a lot of still shots pictures. And you can just see the strained muscles of an athlete as they participate in an activity. So we are to love one another earnestly or fervently. In other words, we are to extend ourselves for brothers and sisters in Christ. It also has the idea not just of increased tension or activity, but it has also the idea of constancy. In other words, continuation, enduringly, lovingly, according to versus according to emotion. So our intense love for the brothers and sisters in Christ is to be an intense love, energetic. You know, we are extending ourselves, but it's also to be a constant thing. Versus love that is characterized by emotion, okay? Think of sports fans, okay? Sports fans. Sports fans are very fickle, okay? In other words, if your team's doing well, if that team's doing well, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Team starts going south, everybody jumps off the bandwagon, okay? It's very emotional. It's very up and down. But our brotherly love for one another is something that is to be intense, energetic, extending itself, but it's also to be constant because it's not dictated by emotion or circumstance. So as we look at this passage, we have to ask ourselves some questions. So let's ask ourselves some questions. First of all, do I detect in my own soul the new birth, okay? All right, do I detect in my own soul a family affection for other believers? Okay, do you detect that in your own soul, a family affection for other believers? Is there this natural response that I have to other people that are trusting in Christ? So if I find that I do have that, I do have this natural affection in my soul for other believers because I belong to Christ, here's the next question. What would extending myself in love look like towards those believers? If it's there, what would extending myself for another believer look like? In other words, I've got what is natural, but I need to do more with it. Not just a warm affection, okay, because that's what comes at the new birth, but I now want to act upon that, okay? And so that's what we need to do. Now, unfortunately, in contrast to that, we don't always have that amongst believers today. Have you ever noticed sometimes amongst believers how much belittling and accusing of the people of God takes place, even by the people of God? Okay, we sometimes do that. We belittle, we accuse other believers. Sometimes in our conversation with other believers, okay? Sometimes through social media, okay? Sometimes we'll make these kind of condescending, snide remarks or put-downs of other believers or either other local assemblies. Now, is it true we're gathered here this morning, right? Okay, number of people who claim to have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay, and so for sure, whenever people are gathered, as we are gathered here this morning, we will find gathered flaws as well. We are gathered people this morning, and we are a people gathered with gathered flaws, right? We know that, okay? Because we are people. We still, as God's people, though we were redeemed, the new birth, we've been transformed, we still, as God's people, we still have vestiges of the old life holding on to us, okay? We are still in process, right? God's not finished with us yet, all right? And we still do wrong things, and we still do dumb things, okay? But yet, if we have this brotherly affection for one another, and we're seeking to fan that flame in our lives, that we might do so earnestly or fervently, and we're striving in our lives by the grace of God to show self-sacrificing love to one another, then you and I should find no part, no business in joining in this popular sport of posting jabs against other believers or seeking to expose their flaws before others or for this world. See, we can't have any part in that, okay? We don't treat family that way. That's the point, okay? This is not the behavior pattern of people that are regenerate or born again towards brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Now, do they sometimes do that? Yes, we sometimes do that. But what I'm saying is that we should let our love that God has placed in our heart for brothers and sisters in Christ, let it show up in the way that we talk, okay? Let it show up in the way that we extend ourselves and how we show that love in practical ways. And so what's some ways in which maybe just on a practical level that we could encourage such relationships? Well, we need to encourage one another to forge relationships with one another so that this kind of caring love is nurtured and practiced. We need to forge the type of relationships with one another where this caring love is nurtured and practiced. You know, many times we can be part of a church body. We can come in, we can sit down at the same place and be part of this body, and we can just assume that love is going on. Okay. Some of you have been part of this body for many, many years, and you sit here week after week, and really, if you were honest, you would think, you know, they're kind of used to me being here, I think, because nobody really maybe expresses that, you know, it just, they don't invite me over anymore. They don't call me anymore. Okay. I mean, I can think of somebody years ago that left this church because they just felt like people got used to seeing them sitting in the same place morning after morning. But when it came to showing intense love or affection towards them, brotherly love or sisters in Christ, that just didn't seem to be there anymore. So we can come and sit in a church as brothers and sisters in Christ and part of the family of God and just assume that this loving, warm affection is going on instead of being the person that is actually showing that love. See, folks, we need to be the type of person that is showing that love. We need to, we all need to break patterns. We all need to think not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Okay, we need to break out of the pattern, especially when we meet here as a body, of just coming and sitting and looking through our bulletin or our prayer sheet and kind of getting updated on the church news, but really never doing anything to extend ourselves in warm affection towards one another. See? We need to be careful. We need to be taking steps to connect with people within this body, in church, and outside of our normal service schedules, spending time with people so we can actually foster closer relationships, not just surface relationships. We need to foster more meaningful relationships by asking people about their prayer needs, finding out what is the burden of people's hearts. See? And we have to that takes work. That takes extending ourselves like an athlete. It takes work. Okay? By having a meal with somebody or inviting somebody into your home. Okay? And so this is why Peter talks about it in the context of extending ourselves like an athlete. It takes effort. It is stretching or exercising your love so that it actually has practical impact on other people. Okay? And so this type of love, again, is to come from the heart. It is a determined, deliberate, genuine expression of love. Okay? Your heart, we talk about the heart, it's where our emotions, our thinking, and our will is placed, all right? And so that means that we're actually going through this, through life, and we're saying this, you know, as we head into a day, right when we get up in the morning, one of our prayers as we start the day should be, Lord, our asking ourselves the question, how can I intentionally and sacrificially show love to other people? In other words, as you get up in the day, Lord, how can I practically and intentionally today show love to other people? And we don't know what's going to come across our way, but we have that mindset, right? Okay? it's helpful to approach life this way because in our natural state, we are all selfish people. But yet in our supernatural state, we are not. And so we need the supernatural power of God to help us to have that mindset. All right? My life is characterized by the opportunity and responsibility of serving other people. But I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. There are a lot of times where I honestly don't feel up to serving other people in love. That's no surprise, right? But that's just reality. There are times where I honestly don't feel up to serving other people in love. I don't feel up to it, maybe. I don't know if I have the heart for it. Okay? I don't know that I have the stamina for it. Okay? Or if I can stand the sacrifice of it. Ever been there? Okay? I've been there. It's during those times that we must just pray. We have to pray. God, help me be a blessing today or a benefit to this person. Help me to connect with this person. And as we approach it with that mindset and that prayer, it's amazing how in living that way, God just leads us step by step to actually being able to do it. See? My oldest son, Jeff, who lives in South Carolina, put something on Instagram that sort of illustrated this. I thought of it as an illustration because it's the struggle that we all face. And it was a video that some of his friends were taking. Jeff and Rochelle thought they were going to a birthday party, a surprise birthday party for one of Jeff's good friends. And so what it actually was, it was a surprise baby shower because Jeff and Rochelle are expecting their second child to be born here. Her due date is March 5th, so it's just around the corner. So it actually, they had arranged for it to be a surprise shower for Jeff and Rochelle for their second child. And so everybody was in the house and somebody had their phone and was taking the video of when Jeff and Rochelle were going to come to the door. So the couple that was hosting it said, Jeff, Rochelle, can you stop by and get some birthday balloons for Jordan? So the doorbell rings and somebody opens the door. The guy that was supposed to be for the surprise party for, his name is Jordan. And Jordan opens the door and Jeff and Rochelle kind of walk in with the birthday balloons and this bewildered look like, what's going on? They still hadn't made the connection because everybody yelled surprise and Jeff didn't really even see who had opened the door, that it was Jordan that had opened the door. He was like, well, what's going on? They thought they were just messing around and everything else. And Jordan, the fellow that was the birthday party was supposed to be for, said, it's a surprise baby shower for you. And Jeff finally started getting it. And as he got it, though, he was saying how he stopped and he paused and he says, before I came in tonight, it had been a really hectic day, a really busy day as it relates to work and that type of thing. And he just really wasn't ready to be part of this special occasion for Jordan. And he said, and in the video saying, oh, I was just sitting down there saying, praying, saying to myself in my mind, saying, Lord, I'm not really feeling this. I don't really feel up to being a blessing to Jordan, but help me to be a blessing to Jordan. See? And we've all been there. We've all been there where we just, I don't know if I can do it. Whether it's the sacrifice or the stamina or whatever it may be, but it's during those moments that we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us to be a blessing, to help us to extend ourselves, to help us to be constant in our brotherly love towards one another. So we need to, by God's grace, let's make this a matter of practice when we start our day. Lord, help me to show your love today. Help me to see the needs. How do we see the needs? Well, it may be something we notice through something I see. Have you ever just kind of been in the kind of the background of something, watching interaction, watching relationships, and you see something, and because your spirit is sensitive to that, you sort of, there's a need there. You just kind of see it. You just sort of sense it. Maybe it's through a phrase that you hear. Maybe somebody in a conversation with you or with somebody else, there's just a little phrase, and it may be the tone and inflection of the voice, and you just say, maybe there's something deeper there. Maybe there's a deeper need, and you sense that way. Maybe it's an expression that you see on somebody's face, okay, a countenance. and you notice something in somebody's countenance, and because you're sensitive to that, because of this natural affection that God placed in your heart at the new birth, and because by God's grace you've been asking him to fan that and to build that, to make it fervent, and you see an expression in somebody's face, and you say, maybe that's something that I can do, okay? And so that's how we live, okay? And so we have that. And so we have this intense love, okay? And it's not natural for us to think that way because we didn't think that way before we were born again. Before we were born again, our life was consumed with how other people were treating me. How can I avoid having to give myself? That's how many times we naturally thought. But now, because of the new birth, we're thinking differently. Okay, we've had this joyful transformation because of the gospel actually working in our lives, and we have this intense love. Okay, and so we do this, and we all have this struggle. Okay, though we've known this truth for a long time, we've heard it taught about. We always find our flesh wants to rebel against it. Right, we experience that, but yet we also find that while the flesh is always pushing against us, okay, that when we, by God's grace, do what God wants us to do, when extending ourselves in warm affection, we're always glad that we did. There's always blessing and joy to doing it. Well, intense love, okay? Verses 22, and we're going to go quickly here and finish up here. Verse 23, in the beginning of verse 22, we have next this intense love that comes from the new life. Look at verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Okay? And so it comes from the new life. This warm affection, this brotherly love comes from the new life. And for it to be from the heart, remember, it's an unhypocritical love. For it to be from the heart, it has to come from the new life. It's not just something we put on. It's not just another task to do. It has to do with my heart that's driving me to do this. This heart that has been changed through faith in the gospel. Talks about that we've been born again, not of perishable seed. That perishable seed is that seed that is a part of procreation. Okay, that's the perishable seed. And when that seed brings forth life, ultimately that life dies. It perishes. Okay, but we were born of an incorruptible seed. We were born of that seed of the gospel that brings forth eternal life and abundant life that shall never die, that shall never wane. Okay, and so we have this new life from God that is imperishable. Okay, God's life in a person is what produces the change in our lives. So at conversion, this brotherly affection was the first sprout. It was one of the first sprouts that comes up. 1 John talks about that from the life that God has given us. And then we cultivate that into a self-sacrificing love. Okay, and so we have that. And so we have that that growth in that way. Now, let me just, for the sake of the gospel, share this. Somebody here this morning that maybe hasn't trusted Christ as Savior. It says that you have purified your souls through the obeying of truth. Okay? That idea of truth there is actually, obeying of truth is actually a description of the submission of faith to the truth of God's revelation in the gospel. In other words, have you trusted in the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for your sin and for forgiveness for your sin and eternal life? Are you trusting the gospel? Are you yielding to the gospel? Okay? Are you relying upon it? Are you trusting in the truth of what God has told us about what a man must do to be saved? Okay? Maybe here's an illustration. Somebody gives you a special recipe for grandma's special apple pie. Okay? There's the recipe. There's the truth, if you will. And if you were going to make that up, you must believe and rely upon that truth. Oh, it needs this much flour and this much sugar and this much salt. See, and you obey that recipe. You obey that truth. And so this morning, if the gospel says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by him, are you trusting in him and him alone? Have you obeyed the truth that has resulted in the purifying of your soul? And you need that gospel this morning, okay? And so we have new life as a result of, we have affectionate love as a result of the new life. Then lastly, we have the good news, the good news. Where does this new life come from? It comes from the activity of God in the good news of the gospel and the giving of Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says that we were born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word was the good news that was preached unto them. Okay? It was the agency of what brought new life to those that obeyed the truth. Okay? It was this a living and abiding word of God that brought forth this life. Okay? And so this word that will remain forever. Okay? And so we have that. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. Okay? And so it is the gospel, the good news. Okay? Again, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you're not sure, 100% sure that you're going to heaven, have you let this gospel get a hold of you? Has it gotten a hold of you? The gospel, how God works in us, this miraculous transformation of sinners to saints. So we have it, gospel life, salvation. Okay? Do you have gospel life this morning? All right? Do you have gospel life this morning? And then because of that gospel life, if you do have gospel life this morning, there is in your heart, there is then that ember of this warm affection towards brothers and sisters in Christ. And then are you fanning that? Are you taking that and moving it forward where it's more intense, it's more practical in its expression one towards another? A very simple concept. A very simple concept, but profound when we live it out. A very simple concept, brotherly love, all right, and to brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's very profound when we live it out. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one towards another. Would you stand, please, head bowed and eyes closed? I know it's a little late here, but we'll conclude here, but want to give our hearts a time to respond. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My friend, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you are not relying and trusting and depending and obeying and yielding to the gospel, you do not have eternal life. You may be here in church this morning. You may be in church consistently Sunday morning after Sunday morning. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If this morning, if you would pray and ask Jesus Christ, admit that you're a sinner, ask Jesus Christ to come and save you from your sin, and receive him as your personal Savior, you have new life in God. And if you need help doing that, come see me or just pray that simple prayer. God, I'm a sinner. I want your Son to be my Savior. Forgive me. And I want him to be my Savior. You pray that prayer and he'll save you. And if you do that, you come see me. Christian, are we just going to be satisfied? Oh, we all struggle. Do I have the stamina? Can I really meet up to the sacrifice? We all have those questions. We need to pray and ask God to give us the grace to obey this command, to have a fervent, sincere love for one another. Father, help us, we pray, by your grace. We thank you that you've shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. You've given us the spirit of life that dwells within us. And so, Father, you can give us the grace to live this out today. And in the days that you give us, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.